Today's daf is Kuf Mem Chet. We're going to start in the middle of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud toward the bottom. Sort of in the middle toward the bottom. It starts with...
It's
a very short daf. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Okay, we're going to have a bunch of different situations today. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, we're starting with this one. Shchiv Mirash Amar Yador Ploni Bebayet Zeh. Yochal Ploni Pero Dekel Zeh Lo Amar Klum. The Shchiv Mirash says, you can live in my house. Or you can eat the fruits of my tree. He doesn't mean anything. Why doesn't it mean anything? Because the first one is not something tangible. The rights to live in a house is not a tangible right that he can pass over in words. And the eating of the fruit is davar sheino bala olam. Okay, so therefore, if he words it, again, this is based on the wording, if he words it as you have the right to live in my house, or you have the right to eat the fruits from my tree, lo amar klum. Ad shi omar, what does he need to say? Okay, I charted this out in the sheet. What does he need to say? Chnu bayit ze leploni v'yadorbo. You have to actually give him rights to the house. In other words, take this house and to live in. Which means he doesn't own the house itself. He just owns rights to live in there. But then he's at least giving him something tangible, which is a house, and not the right to live. Chnu dekel ze leploni v'yochal perotav. That would work. Okay, here is my tree in order for you to eat the fruits of my tree. That is, I'm giving you the tree for the rights of the fruits. We've seen this before. Somebody sells the rights to the payroll. So he's saying you'd have to say, give this tree for the fruits. Meaning, again, he doesn't own the tree. He just owns the fruits of the tree. Then you can do it.
This is his actually transferring the house or the tree? May I suppose it could go either way.
Transferring the house to the tree?
Or the tree to the recipient.
But you see, she said it's not because
that's what I'm.
That's right.
Low kind of what's the thing? Like a renting versus giving a house as a gift, right?
Right. You think that it means, based on what you're reading, that it means that he's actually can only give him the tree and the fruits.
In this case, the shchivmer is actually transferring the house or the tree to the recipient, and as a natural result of this, recipient gains the right to live in the house or eat the fruits. Since a healthy person could affect the sort of transfer.
I see. Okay. We'll get to the healthy. Yeah. Hold on. Okay, so you're saying based on this that so then there's no way he can actually give him rights to just the fruits, according to what you're saying.
Yes, what this seems to suggest.
Okay,
maybe giving rights is something that Shri Mira can't do because it's a more complicated transaction and it has to have a shtar or a kinyan or something.
No, but then we're going to compare it to a bari, and it's going to be exactly the same as what a bari could do. Okay, fine. So let's assume that what it means here is, as you say, which is he can only transfer him the rights to the house, which then allows him to live there, or the rights to the tree, which then allows him to eat the fruits. So then we're going to say, Lameimra, de sever of Nachman, milta de ita bebari ita beshchiv mera, udeleita bebari leita beshchiv mera, is what Rav Nachman is trying to say by making this statement is that whatever one can do for a bari, whatever a healthy person is allowed to make a kinyan on, a shchiv mera is also allowed to. And whatever he can't. Because again, a bari can't transfer davar sheino bala olam. We know that, right? Or can't transfer something intangible like rights to live in a house. So therefore, we're going to assume that that's the case. But that's going to be a problem because... V'ha amarava amarav Nachman shchiv mera sha'amar tnu hava'ati leploni hava'ato leploni va'af agav deleite bebari. Okay, you can see this in the chart. This is something that you can't transfer rights of a halva'a to another person. Now we're only talking about here a milva ba'al peh and not a milva b'shtar. Milva b'shtar, we learned already, you can transfer the shtar. Right, you can write a shtar that says I'm transferring my loan to you. But here, if you have a milva that was never written down, someone just owes you money. You say, listen, instead of paying me, right, back the money, so I'm giving it to you, and they can pay you back instead. And that is something you can't do. So if you can't do it bebari, then how can you do it b'shchiv mera? If we're assuming that what Rav Nachman was trying to say is that, as we said before, whatever is not true for a bari, so it's also not true for a shchiv mera, and therefore whatever is true for a bari should work for a shchiv mera. Here we see a case where it doesn't work for a bari, and yet it works for a shchiv mera. So we're going to have two possible answers as to why one is allowed to transfer a loan when there is shchiv mera, where a loan baal peh, whereas they're not allowed to transfer it if they're bari. So number one is, okay, well, we'll see. Maybe you can actually transfer it when you're a bari. That's going to be the second answer. The first answer is why there's a difference between the two. Rav Papa Amar, ho'il v'yoresh yorsha. A halva'a is something you can transfer ownership of to when you die. So if you die and someone owes you money, they owe it to your children, your heirs, anyone who's going to inherit you. Whereas if you have rights to a house or rights to fruits of the tree without having the tree, without having the house, so if you have rights to live there, that's not something that you can transfer to your children. Okay, that's the assumption here. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Ika Amar, halva ita bebari. There is a case where you could do a halva bebari. If you remember, we learned this. This is where we talked about it just before. Uchid Rav Huna Amarav. Da'amar Rav Huna Amarav. Mana li biyadcha. You have money. I have money that's mine in your hands, meaning you owe me money. Tenehu leploni. Give it to somebody else, meaning, right, you say to them, love, go give the money back to a third party, and you do it b'ma'amad shloshtan kana. As long as, again, there have to be particular ways that this works, but as long as all three people are there, meaning the malva, the love, and the new person who's now going to get the money, then it's kona, and you're allowed to do that kind of a thing. Okay? So therefore, you see a case where tenu avata l'ploni would work even in a bari case, okay? So we kind of said, we thought that, right? So either we say there's a difference between a halva'a and the rights to eat fruits or the rights to live in a house, or we say, no, really, this isn't even a question at all because the halva'a can be, because a halva'a you can do in a particular way anyway, and according to Rav Huna in the name of Rav, in a case of a bari. Okay, next question. Ibai Elihu. Okay, we're now going to have, you can look at the chart, we're on the second chart of the page, it's going to be two girsa'ot about exactly how this sugya came about and what the sugya was talking about. So the first question, the first girsa is going to say, in each girsa there's two questions, it's going to be an intim tzelomar, which is, if you don't know the answer to this question, right, and if you think this might not work, but what about the next case? And in both scenarios, it's going to be that the first question we don't really have an answer to. The second question we're going to be able to answer. We're going to say it works. Okay. The first question, we don't really know if it works. The second question, we will know if it works. I'm going to read the sugya first according to the way most of them freshmen explain, not the Rashbam. I'll mention at the end that the Rashbam had a different girsa, and because of that, he had a different way of reading this whole thing. But the assumption of most of them freshmen is that this connects with what we were just talking about, which is that, about, right, that you can't sell, that you can't, according to what we just said, you can't sell rights to fruits to someone or rights to live in a house. But what if you did it like this? Would it work? Okay, this is the way most of them understand the question. Ibai Elihu. Dekel le'echad uperotav la'acher mahu. If you say, I'm selling this dekel tree to someone, and the fruits of the tree, though, to somebody else, would that work? Because would you say, mi shir makom pere, o lo shir? Do you say that by him selling the tree without the fruits, and what were we talking about before, someone just selling the fruits, which is lo bala olam. But what if you say he sells the tree without the rights to the fruits? It's not makne davar shelo bala olam, it's makne something with not including the davar sheino bala olam. So then can you assume that he says, I'm selling you just the tree, which he can sell, but saying, but it doesn't include the fruits, because the fruits belong to somebody else. So in that case, could you say it's shi'er? It's not that he's selling davar sheino bala olam, it's that he's keeping it to himself to then transfer to somebody else. Okay, so now once he separates it, then maybe it's easier to say, well, that he can transfer to somebody else. But the idea is that he can retain those rights to himself, or maybe he not, right? Are you allowed to do that or no? Or is retaining rights to something kind of the same as acquiring rights to something? And in Timtze Lomer, if you want to say, la'acher lo havishir, if he's giving it to somebody else, that doesn't work, because that's, again, the same issue of, you know, giving him rights to something which he can't really give him rights to because he doesn't, it's not a davar shebala olam. But la'atzmo chutz mi perotav mahu. But if he says, I'm selling you the rights to my fruit tree, But without giving you the fruits, I want to keep the fruits for myself. Now, can you say that for his own sake, he can retain rights to future things that don't exist right now? So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, according to the first gear, so Rava answers in the name of Rav Nachman, Im timtzelomar dekel echadu perotav l'acher lo avishir, if you want to say that it's not going to work for this case, for the dekel echadu perotav to somebody else, but makom pere, lo avishir makom pere, he's not allowed to leave over the makom pere, that doesn't work. But dekel echad v'shier perotav lefanav, but if he gives the dekel to a person and keeps the fruits for himself, shier makom pere. He is allowed to retain the rights to the perot. And what is this based on? You can imagine, because my taima, kol agabe nafshe ba'ayin yafeh mishayer. This goes back to what we saw in the past about that a person will be right. We saw mocher ba'ayin yafeh mocher or mocher ba'ayin ra'ah. Mocher ba'ayin ra'ah is based on the same logic, which is you want to keep things for yourself, and therefore you can retain rights to yourself that you might not be able to transfer to anyone else, but you can retain them in a sale. And therefore, Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, we can assume that he keeps this for himself. Okay, that's the basic way of understanding the sugya.
Much what? More basic thing that, that since there's a davar shelo odo bala olam, he can't do anything with it, and therefore just by it inevitably stays with him.
When you sell a tree, what's the point of selling a tree? You're selling a tree for anything that comes off the tree. So a basic sale of a tree will include the fruits. So there has to be some mechanism that allows him to keep this for himself, and that's the question. Can this mechanism work or not? Can he keep these rights to himself when they're not davar shebala olam? But the answer is yes, you can. Obviously you can, because he's...
If you sell the tree without the parrot, can the person who buys the tree cut it down?
Right, so he probably can, I would assume. Yeah, I would assume he can cut it down, because he owns the goof.
At the time when
you... Right, it's a good question, what will happen?
Everything, you just sell the tree and the little bit of land around it, then if you cut it down, then you lose that land. So that
right. So I'll just give you a bit of what the Rashbam goes into. I'm not going to get into his whole perush, but he actually says that this isn't connected with the previous sugya about this davar shebala olam or lo bala olam. He thinks that the question here relates to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was a case of a shchiv merash hakatav kol nechasav la'achirin. Remember this case? What?
I was going to ask you whether we're talking about a
shchiv merash. Oh, yeah. So I don't... Right. I think according to the first interpretation, it's not. According to the second interpretation, it's based on Dafta Shchiv Meira. The whole thing was, remember, when it's important to review for later in today's daf, a Shchiv Meira that writes all his nechasim to other people, he gives everything to everybody else, right, and leaves nothing for himself, and then he gets better. What do we say? He obviously didn't mean to give everything away. But if he leaves something for himself, then we say that the matana is a good matana. So here, if he sells the tree but leaves the payroad, is that considered a shiur? They go back, right? The it's exact wording of the Mishnah. Shiur karka kolshu. Is that considered a shiur that he left something for himself, and therefore the sale would be, the gift would be a good gift? Mm-hmm. It is talking about a shchiv merah, as Ruth said, and that's what's going on. But then he has a whole different girsa, somewhat of a different girsa, to explain the rest of it, because it would be hard to read through our girsa. Okay, so that's just a side point, that the Rashbam is a totally different way of reading this. Now, besides the Rashbam having a different way of reading this, the Gemara itself had a whole different girsa about what the sugya was, what the details of the sugya were. Instead of saying that the question was about this dekel echad uperotav l'acher versus dekel echad, right, and chutz mi perotav for his own sake, okay, the question was not about this dekel case, it was about a different case. Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rav Ashi. Rabbi Abba says to Rav Ashi, Anan ad Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish matninan la. We learned this whole case about this whole back and forth question answer. It was the same kind of mahalach of question answer, and the answer was the same answer, but it was said about a totally different case. It was said about something that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who's otherwise known as Rish Lakish, about something that he said. De Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Hamocher bayit lechaveru. This is going to sound familiar. Va'amar lo aminat sheduta hel yonah sheli. We learned this earlier in the Masechet. I think it was Samach Bet. There's a case where if somebody sells a house, if you remember, we talked about with this duta el yonah. There's a few different opinions. I think it was the Rashbam who says that it's your roof that's surrounded by a ma'akeh. Okay, so you sell the house And up on the top, there's a roof that's surrounded with a fence, and it's 10 tefachim tall, which creates kind of a reshut in and of itself, which means that it's not included in the basic sale of a house. Okay, so if you sell the house, it doesn't include the due to El Yonah. But what if you say, I'm selling you the house, and then you add the words, Al Minat Shiduta El Yonah Sheli. Now, you didn't need to say those words. This goes back to something we were learning the other day, right? That if you add extra words, you must be trying to include something that wouldn't have been included otherwise. So, right, we don't assume that you didn't know the halacha, and you just said it because you didn't know the halacha. We assume you knew the halacha, that the detail you're not wasn't included. So the fact that you said, on the condition that I'm not including the detail you're not, what could you be meaning? Now, the assumption is that you sold the house and the chatzer. Okay, we talked about this in the past. Now, what's the purpose of the Duta El Yonah?
Okay.
So the Duta El Yonah, you can go out there, but that's obviously yours. So what did you want to include? To hang things, there are these zizim, these protruding beams that come out, and you might want to hang things on the protruding beams. Now, when you hang them in the protruding beams, you're in the airspace of the chatzer. So if you've been machne the chatzer to the owner, then unless you say, Amanat Duta El Yonah Shelo, right? Then, so if you say, Amanacha Duta El Yonah Sheli, then you have right to the Duta El Yonah, which the Mefreshim explain. Right? It's weird, it doesn't say so in the wording here. It should really belong here in the Gemara itself to explain it. But what it means is, the Duta El Yonah belongs to him, which means not just the Duta El Yonah, which obviously belongs to him, also the Zizim that protrude. Okay, we're going to see that we talk about the Zizim in a few minutes, but that's the assumption. Now, that's a fact on the ground. Remember, what we have with questions and answers. So the fact is that Rish Lakish says this. Now, the two questions are going to be based on this halacha. So if you say, Amanat Shiduta El Yonah Sheli, then you get to retain the rights to the zizim that are going to protrude into the chatzer, and you can use them to hang stuff on. But Ibayelahu, but now here come the two questions. Bayit le'achad v'diuta le'achad, what if he says, I'm selling you the house and you the diuta. Now, what's the assumption here? The words diuta la'acher are not extra because you're giving it to somebody else. You'd have to say that. So it's not exactly like the previous case where it's obvious that because you said it and you didn't need to say it, it must be to include something else. Here, if you're selling the diuta to somebody else, then you have to say, I'm selling the diuta to somebody else. So mahu, do we say, Mi havishir or olo? Do you say that when you said the diuta le'echad, you mean the diuta and the rights to use the zizim that are protruding, or not? And im timtzalomer bayit le'echad the diuta le'echad lo havishir. And even if you want to say, you can see how this is just like the last case. Even if you want to say that in a case where there's two different people, you're giving one and one the other, maybe then you won't say there's a shear. You could say that you're leaving him also rights to hang things. But what if you say chutz mi diuta? What if you say the words, I'm giving you my house except for the diuta? There, you're not saying almanacha diuta el yonashali, which is a real adding extra words. You're just saying chutz mi diuta. Maybe that doesn't include the rights to the chatzer. So again, we know what the answer is going to be because it's the same answer. Because remember, this is just a different version of what the discussion was. Amarava, Amarav Nachman, imtim tzalom or bayit lechad diuta lechad lo havishir. Right? Even if you want to say that the bayit lechad diuta lechad will not count as a shiur, meaning he doesn't have rights to hang his stuff from the zizim, chutz mi diuta havishir. But if you say chutz mi diuta, then you're retaining the rights for yourself. Because again, this goes back to the concept that if you're retaining rights for yourself, right, that you're always going to do more for your own sake. So we can always assume that you're including extra when it comes to your own items. Valiba de Rav Zvid. Here, this is like Rav Zvid, and here we see it explicitly. They're talking about the zizim. Damar shim ratzalo tziba zizin motzi. Then in a case where he said chutz midyuta, if he wants to put out these protruding beams and hang things in the chatzer, he's allowed to. Alma kevan deshir diuta makom zuzim nami shir. So therefore, we can assume that once he, right, what does it mean? He retained rights to the diuta. It meant that he retains rights also to the space, the airspace where the zuzim protrude. Okay, now there's a difference in girsa, and this is a very important difference in nusach, whether you say this or not. According to, you can see from here, it's in parentheses, which means you don't really read it, but I'm going to read it anyway and show you the two different versions of reading it. Either that's the end of the sugya, And we basically have a machloket, we have a difference of opinion about whether the girsa had to do with our case or had to do with the Duta case. In which case, they're not connected at all. If you read the second girsa, it has nothing to do with the first girsa. Or you say that if you had it on that the whole thing was said about Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's statement, then according to this nusach, we connect it back to our case. And we say, just like with the Duta, would work that way. Hachanami kevanda amar chutz mi perotav, makom perishir. Okay? So there's a question about if either we read the first girsa and then it answers all our questions that we had, or we read the second girsa, and then if we read it as the second girsa, then it's not clear that there's any connection back to our, whether we can actually get an answer to our question. But if you do read this line, then it's basically saying these two are the exact same thing. And if you're going to say that by the diuta he's shi'er latzmo, then you would also say by the peirot that you could be shi'er latzmo. So there's a machloket about whether these two are actually the same case, or it was a question and answer said about two totally different cases, and the answer, we can't learn from one to the other. So if you have the second girsa, then we have no answers to our question at all. Okay, next section. Amar Rav Yosef bar Menume, Amar Rav Nachman. Shchiv Meira, shekatav kol nechasav la'achirim. Okay, this is the last chart on the page. Somebody sends, somebody writes, all his nechasim la'achirim. Ro'im. We check the situation to see what happened. Im b'mechalek met, kanu kulam. I'm sorry, im b'mechalek, sorry, I read that wrong. If he was sitting on his deathbed, and he goes like this, and he says, okay, let's take all my property, you get this, you get that, you get that, you get that, you get that, you get that. Done. Says everything. So, met, kanu kulam, obviously, if he dies, everybody gets their share. Amad, but if he gets up from his machala, right, he's healthy, Chozer b'kulan. Then he's chozer in everything because what happened in this case? It matches the case in the Mishnah. He didn't leave anything for himself. But im b'nimlach, what if I was giving out my property when I died and I said, okay, I'm going to give Naomi this part. And then I sat and thought, let's think. Okay, fine. I'll give Judy this section. Then I sit and I think a little while, and then I say, okay, I'm going to give Shari this portion. Okay, and I go like that. And every time I kind of hesitate and I pause and I think, that's nimlach. Meit kanu kulam. So if I actually die, all those people got it, even though I was deliberating, because in the end I said it. But amad, but if I got up from my machala, what would happen? Eino chozer ela ba'acharon. When I gave Naomi, I had still left over all the rest of my property because I hadn't decided at that point I was giving everything away. So Naomi's gift is viewed as an actual gift. Judy's is the same because when I said to Judy, I'm giving you money, I didn't say I still had left over and I hadn't decided what I was doing with the rest. Only when I gave to Sherry, which was my last portion, and then Sherry got the whole rest of everything, then I was not Shi'er anymore. And therefore, only Shari's portion goes back to me. Okay? But the assumption was the earlier people actually were given their gift. Okay? So now they say, wait a minute. Vidilma iunikam. Now, the assumption of this is what? That when I gave Naomi and I gave Judy, I hadn't decided to give away all my property yet. So the Gemara questions that and says, just because I was hesitating in between each gift doesn't mean what? Dilma iunikam ayin. Vahadar yaiv. Maybe. Right? I was just trying to figure out who I wanted to give what property to or how much or who. You know, maybe you were all sitting around and I was still determining who I was giving what to, but not that I wasn't planning to give it all away. When I gave to Naomi, I was planning on giving everything. I wasn't planning on leaving anything over. I was just taking my time about figuring things out. So now the Gemara says no. Okay, it's an interesting assumption about people. Dishchiv mera meidak daik v'hadar yaiv. Shchiv Merah figures everything out first before they actually give away all their property. And they decide who's getting what, and then they start talking. They don't start talking and giving out property until they've actually had it all figured out. It's an interesting assumption, whether we accept it or not is a good question, because often Shchiv Merah, you know, the whole concept of letting the Shchiv Merah decide everything is somewhat complicated. We all know that some people on their deathbed, most people, are not very lucid. And to... You know, number one, giving them credibility, right, to whatever they say goes is already a big jump. And now to assume that they've got it all together, that they've calculated it all, they pre figure everything out before they start talking is also an interesting assumption. In addition to that first assumption, it's making another assumption about how clear they are about what their intentions are.
So maybe they're thinking that the Schieffer mob who thinks in between isn't really...
You're saying maybe... Well, no, but that's not what we're saying. We're saying someone who hesitates, we still assume the gift he gave to you was a gift, the gift he gave to you was a gift. If he gets better...
Because he wasn't... He was on his deathbed, but not on the edge.
You're saying because he wasn't totally... Because he actually did get...
He actually said, well, you know, I'm thinking about this. Okay, so Naomi, I'll give you this. And, yeah, Judy, I'll give you this. But because he was thinking... Because he wasn't quite to the end yet.
Yeah, but then what? So it still doesn't affect the halacha, because in that case, the gift was a good gift to you.
But if you're a bari, the gifts are good.
Right, you're saying he's treated more like a bari. Could be. I'm not so sure it's clear that he was necessarily more healthy or not.
Maybe he also died differently then. Because now people are all drugged up, and that's a big part of it. Maybe they really were more lucid.
Maybe they were. Right. Well, what it does show is how seriously people took their inheritance and passing down, which people nowadays also are very serious about it, right? People figure things out at a young age, even people write wills and people take care of things. So it's also trying to say that people take the whole job of dividing up property very seriously.
Does anybody address the question of Shear Leitzmo by mistake? Like he meant to give out all of his property, which would have made it a done deal, and by mistake he didn't give out a piece, not that he was intending to keep it for himself.
Maybe like the first children.
No, but I'm saying, what if you just...
Right, maybe
like,
he just didn't pay attention. It could be.
It's very hard to give out every single last thing and not keep it.
Right. Well, here we're going to see sort of the opposite approach, or I think it's a little opposite of what you're saying. That's going to be the next case. So, I don't think anyone thinks that he accidentally left it over. Okay?
Because if the whole question is undana, then you have to figure out what he was intending by that.
Right, exactly. Okay, we're going to see, based on this next sugya also, we're going to see that the Mishnah, there's a bit of a debate in the Mishnah. Going back to the Mishnah says, Katav kol nechasav l'achirim. The assumption is that he just said it, right? That's what it says in the Pshat. But the Mefarshim say, the Rashbam, I think, says it, and others, that he must have done a kinyan. Okay, because if he didn't do a kinyan, then we wouldn't view this matana. In other words, like let's say the case where I just gave Naomi a piece and I gave Judy a piece. In order for it to be effective, there was a kinyan there. Okay, some people understand that there was a kinyan, and that will make the rest of this sound a little more plausible. Okay, Amarav Acha Bar Minyume, Amarav Nachman, Shchiv Mera Shekatav Kol Nechasav LaAcherim VaAmad Eino Chozer. Okay, so now, he writes all his nechasim, and then he gets better. Now, this goes against our Mishnah, right? What does it say here? It doesn't go back to him. Why not? Chayshinan shema yesh lo nechasim b'medina acheret. We're concerned that maybe he has a Swiss bank account, right? That's what we basically say nowadays, right? In other words, just because he says, I want my whole bank account here, and my house, and my this, right, to go to... Maybe, right, crazy to think that in those days, right, people had nechasim b'medina acheret, and that was a serious enough concern that we're going to assume that just because he wrote everything to acherim, right, he's eino chozer. Okay, so obviously they're going to say, well, now what about our Mishnah? Ve'la matnitin dekatane lo shi'er karka kol shehu ein matanato kayemet hechem mishkachala, right? So what about our Mishnah where it says, Lo shi'er karka kol shehu, right? It doesn't count. So what's going to be the case there? Amarav Chama, so we have two answers. Ba'omer kol nechasai. In the Mishnah, and it even says so in the Mishnah, right? He says, kol nechasai. Okay, ba'omer shekatav kol nechasav l'achirim. If he says the words, all of my possessions, then we can assume that he doesn't have anything else. But if he says, I'm giving my house and my car and my bank account here and my those things, then... And we don't know he has anything else. We can assume that he actually might have something else, and therefore the matana is a good matana. Why do I say that this makes more sense if you go with the fact that there was a kinyan here? Because if he did it with a kinyan, then we assume that he really meant to give it to the other person. And it wasn't just a gift on his deathbed. In other words, there's a gift on his deathbed with a kinyan. So once it had the kinyan, it gave it extra status that even though we don't know he has any other gifts... any other nechasim, one can assume he has other nechasim. And the Mefarshim asks, this is crazy because You're basically being, we always say, "Motzi mechaver al aparaya." Now he gets better. Where's the property? It's still in his hands, right? How can it go to somebody else without them proving that, right? They'd have to prove that what? That he doesn't have a Swiss bank account or something like that. So first of all, it's hard to prove, right? The negative. And number two, they say that there was a kinyan here. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And once you do a kinyan, well, then you don't have the halakha, the motzi mechaver al aparaya. There was a kinyan. That means this belongs to you. So this is a very, you know, it puts everything in perspective into what we just said. Because really, we've been saying, if he leaves over nothing, right, no one would ever leave over nothing. According to this, if he really gave it with a kinyan, the assumption is he must have something somewhere else to live on. Otherwise, he never would have done it with a kinyan. So that's one answer about the contradiction between the Mishnah, right? So one answer is the Mishnah, he said all of my possessions, and then we assume he doesn't have any. But if he didn't say all, then we could be concerned for this case, that maybe he has more. Amar Rav Chama, ba'omer kol nechas... wait, one second. No, I read that, right? Mar Rav Ashi amar, b'muchzak lan deleitle. It must be a case in our Mishnah where everybody knows that this is all the guy has. Okay, how everybody knows? Well, you can imagine that in a small town, everybody knows what everybody has, and you know, people just know, right? It's not like nowadays also where it's easy to have some over, you know, some account that nobody knows about. But you know, I don't even know how easy it is. But not anymore, exactly, not anymore. But it was known that he didn't have another account. Okay, but if there was some reason to think that maybe he had lived overseas at some point and maybe he bought something there and blah, blah, blah. You know, there would be reason to think. Okay. Next section. Ibayilhu. Chazara b'miktzat havi chazara b'kula olo. Okay. Here's a very basic question. We learned a few dapim ago, I don't remember how many dapim ago, but the daitiki mevatal daitiki. We actually saw it. It came up derech agav. We were quoting someone who said two things. And we really wanted the second thing, but the first thing was that a daitiki mevatal daitiki. So we didn't really talk about it. What it means is, if someone gives a will and says, I'm giving my property to so-and-so, and then he changes his mind and he says, I'm giving it to somebody else, so it works. It's functional, right? It means he can change it. Whatever he said first is erased. But what if he said, I'm giving so-and-so 100% of my possessions, and then he comes along and he says, I'm giving someone else 50% of it. Okay?
So now, he's less lucid than we thought he was a moment ago.
Right. So now, is this called chazara b'miktzat, meaning that the first person still gets his 50% and the second person gets the other 50%? Or do we say by him making a new will, he's basically canceling out the entire first thing? Now, there's relevance to this because we're going to see in the cases that we saw, if he, depending on the direction and what he started with and what he ended with, but let's say he writes 100%, and then he's chozer bo only b'miktzat, then all these cases are where 100% of his possessions were given away, which would mean if he got healthy again, right, we'd renege, right, everything would be erased. But if 50%, when he says 50% to someone else, it cancels out the whole 100%, then the 50% is a matana where he's shi'er, which means the guy would get the 50% in the case where he gets better, okay? If he dies, then, right, then it's a little more obvious. We'll see, okay? So we're going to try to bring different cases to explain what the halacha is. Is miktzat chazara b'miktzat chazara or not? Or chazara b'miktzat or chazara b'kula? Tashma, let's learn from here. Here's a brayta. Kulon l'rishon u'miktzatan l'sheni. First he gave 100% like our case, and then he gave 50% to the second guy. Sheni kana, rishon lo kana. Okay, so now the second guy gets the 50%, and the first guy gets nothing. Now, my love, what's the first assumption? It's talking about b'shemet. Meaning, when he dies, what happens? The guy gets only 50%, which shows the chazara b'miktzata, chazara b'kula. Because if it was chazara b'miktzat, then the first guy would get 50%, whatever was left to him, right? For him. So that would prove it. So then they say, lo, b'shamad. It must be a case where he got better. In which case, that's why the Rishon Lo Kana, not because when he said 100 and then he said 50, what he really meant was, if I die, I want you to give 50 to one guy and 50 to the other guy. But since when he gave, if he actually gets healthy again, when he gave the first guy, he wasn't shear anything, which means that's not a gift at all. So only the second gift works. So in other words, if he were to die, it would go 50-50, meaning it's chazara b'miktzat, is only chazara b'miktzat. But if you say the case is bisha'amad, then it has nothing to do with chazara b'miktzat. It has to do with a whole separate halacha. The reason it doesn't work, as again, it depends whether the subject of the braita is bisha'amet or bisha'amad. It doesn't say so in the braita. So it just says, sheini kana rishon lo kana. So if it's in a case where he died, then it shows chazara b'miktzat or chazara b'kula. It's in a case where he got better, then it would have nothing to do with our topic. It would mean you could still say chazara b'miktzat is chazara b'miktzat only. The other guy should get 50%. However, since the guy got better, he doesn't get anything because when he gave him the 100%, he wasn't share anything. So that matana was only contingent upon him dying. Okay? And now they're going to say, furthermore, we can prove that the case was bisha'amad. How so? Hachinami mistabra midekatani seifa. Because the second part of that bright is clearly bisha'amad. Why? What's the case? The hafuch case. Miktzatan l'rishon. First he gave 50% to the first guy. Then kulan l'sheni. Then he gave 100% to the second guy. Okay? So now, rishon kana, sheni lo kana. So obviously, what are we talking about here, right? Iyamar bishlama b'she'amad. If you say he got better, and that's why, right, it's going to be obvious. Mishum hachi sheni lo kana, because the second guy got 100%. He was b'shai or nothing. The second matana gets canceled out because, right, he got healthy. And we're left with the first guy who gave 50%. But Ella, who got the 50%. Well, now he gets it because now, right, that's takef. But Ella ia mark bishamet. But if it was a case where he died, Iamar Bishame Travaihu Likne. Right? What should be the case if he died? Then
the second guy should get everything.
Both.
Right. Why does it say both should get? That's why I'm confused for a minute.
Because each one will get
three. No, he should, the second guy should cancel out the first guy. So why is it Travaihu? I forgot, 1 second.
Why should one gets 50% and then the second one?
The second guy should get. I think right. I think it's just
everything that's left, which is 50% of the whole.
No, the second guy got kulan. Miktatan l'rishon, and then kulan is sorry. Kulan is whatever's left. That was my mistake. I said the case wrong. The first guy gets 50% and the other guy gets the rest of the 50%. That's what you'd have to say. Okay, sorry, that's where I made a mistake. So then each one would get 50%.
The wording is
okay.
Confusing.
Right, the wording was confusing because it
after
said kulan, right.
The 50,
rest.
Then the rest is 100%
exactly.
Of what's left.
Exactly. It's not the exact opposite of the other case. That was my mistake. Okay, so travayu likne. So then they should both get the 50% or whatever percentages it was. So therefore we've proven that it's bisha'amad, which proves that what? This has nothing to do with Chazara b'miktzat, chazara b'kulan. This has to do with the case of shir or not shir. So Amar le'Rav Yemer le'Rav Ashi, v'tahavinami b'shamad. You could still explain, right? So now, 1 second, right? Even if the whole thing was b'sha'amad, you could still learn to our case. Why? Iyamar b'shlama chazara b'miktzat havi chazara b'kulu. Iyamar bishlama chazara b'miktzat havi chazara b'kula haynu d'sheni miat kana. The second guy is kone because what? If you say chazara b'miktzat is chazara b'kula, right? Now we're talking about in the resha, right? So if you say chazara b'miktzat is chazara b'kula, you could explain that that's why the second guy was koneh, because he wasn't sheep, right? Because at this point, he's chozer in everything, which means he's only giving away 50%. Ela I amart chazara b'mitzat lo avi chazara b'kula nehavi kimachalek ulecha minayu lo likne. If you say chazara b'mitzat is not chazara b'kula, then it's like the mechalek case, right? He first gave away money to someone. Then he said, wait, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'm going to change. And then he gives 50% to the other guy. Then what do you see here, right? So according to this, nobody should really get, because if you say chazara b'mitzat is not chazara b'kula, it shows that in the end, from the whole time, everything was given away, because 100% was given away to the first guy, and then he took 50% from the first guy and gave it to the second guy, which means that at that point he also wasn't shear. So if you're going to say the whole thing is b'sha'amad, you could still prove that chazara b'mitzat is chazara b'kula, because if it's not chazara b'kula, then this whole case would always be where he's giving away all of it, which means that when Bisha Ahmad, nobody would get anything. Okay? And there, and then the Gemara says, V'hilchata chazara b'miktat havia chazara b'kula. Okay? The fact is, we paskin, chazara b'miktat is chazara b'kula. So if you say, I'm giving someone 100%, then you say, I'm giving someone 50%, it means you're chozer bo on your first gift. Reisha mishkachala, and then you can say like this, according to his rejection, what does he say? According to this, the reisha mishkachala ben shemei ben shamad, right? First we said it's only b'shamad. Now he's saying you can read it as whether he died or whether amad. And seifa lo mishkachala ela b'shamad. But the seifa still can only be explained as b'shamad. Okay, last few lines we'll do for today. Ibai lehu. He gdish kol nechasav v'amad ma'u. What if you said, not I'm giving it as a gift, but, right, taking the Mishnah a different step further, he said, I'm giving all of my nechasim to the Beit HaMikdash. You're on your deathbed, right? I'm giving everything to the Beit HaMikdash. Mi amrinan kol gabe hekdesh gamaru makne. Do we say, since he was doing it for a good cause, right? Basically, he meant to actually be makne. O dilma kol gabe nafshe lo gamaru makne. Or still, when it comes to his own, right, he's going to save something for himself. So if he really gave it all away, he only meant if I died. But if he actually got better, he wouldn't do it. Okay, along those lines, we're going to ask a few more little questions. Hifkir kol nechasav ma'u. What if he made all of his nechasim hefkir? Now, why would someone make all their nechasim hefkir? The Gemara is going to assume that here, we'll read it. Mi amrinan kevan de'af la'anim ka'ashirim gamaru makne. Since when you make something hefkir, who can get it? Not only the ashirim, but also the anim. So it's almost like he was probably trying to do a good thing by giving his stuff to anim, by saying this is hefkir, hoping the anim would come and get his stuff. Oh, Dilma, or do we say no? Kol legabe nafshe lo gamaru makne. Anyone, when it comes to himself, right, he's never going to give away all his possessions and leave himself with absolutely nothing. So if he gets better, it's also canceled. And last question, chilei kol nechasav la'aniyim mai. What if, okay, not hekdesh, not hefker, but he actually gives, he says, I'm giving everything I own to tzedaka. Mai, this is a great question, right? Mi amrinan tzedaka vadei gamaru. Migmar gamar umakne. Since stuck is such an important thing here, they're putting it in terms of levels. It's almost like we're getting, doesn't use the lashon imtim tiloma, but it sounds like they're saying that, right? But when it comes to tzedaka, somebody says, I'm giving away everything I own to tzedaka, maybe they really meant it. Okay? Odilma, or do we still say, kol legabe nafshe lo gamar umakne? And they're answered in teku. Okay? They don't know the answer to the question. It's a kind of strange question, even if you say that somebody might, in theory, say, I'm giving all my possessions away to stuck. It's still hard to imagine. They wouldn't leave anything for themselves. And it would be more likely that if he really didn't leave anything for himself, he was just trying to say, when I die, I want all of my possessions to go to tzedakah. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he wanted, you know, he wanted it to be done. So I find it interesting that Gemara even suggests such a thing. You know, what it shows here is the high value of hekdesh, even hefker, and tzedakah is so highly valued that one could think, right? It could be ole al hadat that maybe somebody would actually do that, and even if they continue to live on. On that nice note.